What's up, guys? Thanks for checking back in to Sources from the Sofa. This pod is all over the place. It's just me and Aaron on this pod. No Jason. He's taking a little time off. He will be back on the next one. We talk all things basketball. So if you're a basketball head, NBA, we kind of go through like the different tiers of the Western and Eastern conferences, who are contenders, who are legitimate good teams, and who's like, you know, just nothing to really worry about for the rest of the season. We do talk a little college basketball as well. Not too much. Some things that could have happened. So crazy how like one hire can totally change the trajectory of a whole team. For instance, imagine the Lakers actually got their man in Dan Hurley. Instead, he stays with UConn. UConn's having a pretty rough year. And JJ looks like the next Pat Riley. Quote that. Write that in ink. That's my professional opinion. We'll see how it goes. We talk all things basketball, though. Kind of goes off the rails. It's a fun pod, and we can't wait for Jason to come back on so we can talk more crap with him on everything that's gone right and wrong in this NBA season. So don't go anywhere. It's Monday night here for Sources from the Sofa as me and Aaron are recording. Jason's taking the night off, so he'll rejoin us later in the week. But lots of fun NBA games. We already finished the All-Star Week. We got about like 25 to 30 games, depending on the team. We will see what happens. I went back and listened to our first two pod episodes on the Eastern Conference and Western Conference takes, so that was pretty fun to revisit. Still yet to visit our other NBA special on the in-season tournament on the Emirates Cup. We actually went pretty in-depth on all the trades last time. It was a long pod, but I actually enjoyed the whole thing. We covered everything from the first trade all the way to the last one. And time for the meat and potatoes, man. We kicked off right after All-Star break with the game. Just one game Wednesday night. It was last Wednesday. Lakers with an upset by the Hornets. The Hornets, fans celebrated as if they just won Game 7 in the NBA Finals. Talking mad smack, more drama coming from that rescinded Lakers Williams trade. All good though, you know. Wasn't too worried. Thursday, that's when we went back to a full slate. Some interesting things since then. Celtics have been on a really good run lately. They demolished the 76ers. They just demolished the New York Knicks just recently. Knicks have been getting pummeled by the best teams in the NBA, including the Cavs, Boston. Lakers roughed them up too as well, I believe, a few weeks ago. To be clear, they're a pretty good fucking team. Just Lakers, not good enough
the
against
Lakers
the
Lakers.
Roughed
the Knicks up so bad that they felt good enough to trade AD. Let's put it that way. He was out of town after that one.
You're right, dude. That was after that. Oh, man. It was after that game. We'll talk about the Lakers. I pulled out some really interesting stats about that team. Leading up to the trade and now afterwards. But also since then, the Suns, just, you can tell the trade deadline stuff just really messed with them. They got destroyed by the Spurs, and I believe they were missing a few guys. They were missing Wemby, actually. This is after the news came out, I believe, right? This is on Friday.
The day of the news, I believe, came
the
out.
The day of the news. Yeah, just Knicks getting some getting beat up here. They barely skipped away with the victory against the Bulls. Bulls have been playing pretty competitive, actually, which is really funny. When I was listening back to the pod, you and Jason were talking about how Bulls, they'll probably be fighting for that, you know, 9th, 10th seed in the Eastern Conference. And I'm pulling up the standings. Guess what they are right now?
Number 10.
And you were on the money, man. You were talking about how Atlanta and Chicago, you weren't going to put too much money on them because they would probably be in the 9th or 10th seed. 8, 9, 10 is what you said. And that's exactly where they're at.
It's glad to know. I know we were talking before we went on air that I did get some things right here in the NBA.
We have a few whiffs, man. You have a couple big ones.
Hey, well, I'm only trying. Hey, like a good baseball hitter, if I hit 300, I'm happy, man.
Lakers, though. I do want to talk about them right away because we're just a few days removed from really the first game of Luka Doncic is back. I even tweeted, Luka's back, dude. If he's yelling at the refs, if he's yelling at fans, he is back, baby. And those Lakers, they put on an absolute clinic. Lakers have played really well against the Nuggets, by the way, over the past few years. They just can't close them out and pull out victories. A lot of their losses have been like one or two scores. This one looked really different, though. It kind of came out after the game that J.J. Redick didn't really sleep the two nights prior. He just stayed up trying to game plan with the other coaches on how to stop the Joker. And it really worked out really well. And you're kind of probably wondering, like, well, how come other teams haven't done this yet? Well, it's really hard. You have to be really committed on defense. And for all this shit-talking that the Lakers are not good on defense, me included, I was talking crap. We recorded our first NBA episode 3 weeks into the season. I said, I like the team. They just can't defend for a shit. In the past 15 games, Lakers are number one in defense in the NBA, and that's without Anthony Davis. That is wild. They're also 12-3 and have the best record in the NBA in that stretch. To put it perspective, Anthony Davis, before he got traded, guess who was the team leader in points scored per game?
For the Lakers?
Yeah, this season.
Without LeBron?
No, just, you know, so far this year.
It's probably Reeves.
It's Davis. 25.7. Rebounds. It's Davis again at 11.9.
And block shots is going to be Davis.
Davis at 2.1 a game. And steals at 1.3. The only other category that he does not lead in is assists. And that's LeBron. What's LeBron's real name?
I don't know.
It's not like Kobe being bright. LeBron James, man, at 8.8. A lot of stuff that came out after the trade. Two ball-handling guys. A lot of people have every right to be not sure of how they would kind of work that out. But looking back at the way both these guys have played, LeBron has played a lot of games off the ball. And Luka, he does like sharing the chip a lot. And so just finally seeing some of that chemistry kind of get started against the Nuggets was really beautiful. Not only were they really effective on the defensive end, but offensively, they were pretty unstoppable. Luka, LeBron, and Reeves, he's a legitimate baller now. If he's your third best guy on any team, it's a pretty big winning formula. But if you're counting on 75 points between all three of them, that's pretty hard to beat between your top three guys. Plus, you get like some hustleness from Rui. The other guy stepped in. I know this is going to be hard to keep up for the rest of the season, but one thing J.J. Redick does have this team doing is they're being really competitive day in and day out. And honestly, like, Perkins the other day on ESPN came out and said that he's a top 10 coach in the NBA already. I believe it. I truly thought before the season, best case scenario, he's the next Pat Riley. I'm all in. I'm all in, dude. I love J.J. Redick, man. This guy's passionate. And even on the sidelines, he's smiling. People say he doesn't really smile a lot. Well, there's a lot to smile about when you're coaching, you know, a good friend in LeBron James, who happens to be one of the best players ever to touch basketball, and then Luka, who has had probably one of the best starts in NBA history to ever touch basketball and hasn't even hit his prime yet. So I know it's just one game, and the Nuggets are going to be a tough out no matter what, especially if they face in the playoffs. But Lakers, they put in the work, they stuck to the game plan, and they did not relent on that game plan. And LeBron playing this much on the defensive side and still staggering the minutes, I thought it was a hell of a job from the Lakers. And you even got Bill Simmons, definitely a more of a Laker hater than you, Aaron, like giving props to this Laker team. Like, man, like if they play like this, like who knows?
Yeah, I mean, look at the Lakers. The Lakers, the opposite of the Knicks that you mentioned earlier, Rome. The Lakers against good teams are actually playing well and winning games. It's the bad teams that have given them trouble.
They are ugly.
The Jazz, who we came on like a week and a half ago before the All-Star break, and we're laughing when they beat them by 40, the Lakers. And then two nights later, they go to Salt Lake City and get beat by 20. Come out of the break, like you mentioned, Rome, they got beat by a bad Hornets team.
It's a bad sort. Yeah, it's a bad
and
team.
Then they struggled, and they've always struggled. It's a tough place to play there in Portland. But Portland, to their credit, has been playing pretty well. Just got a win tonight, and they escaped with that win. And then the best game I've seen the Lakers play all season, Luka, as you mentioned, at Denver. Nuggets were one on 8-9 game win streak. They were really hot going into the
break. Home winning streak, yeah.
Came out of the break, got a win, and the Lakers dominated that game. And defense was the key. I thought the Lakers were quicker. They sped the Nuggets up, and they forced a ton of turnovers. I looked back at the stats, and the difference in that game was turnovers 20-8, fast break points 39-11. That's where the Lakers beat them. They were too quick. They were too fast. I'll have to see these teams play some more against each other to see if that's something that they can keep up trend-wise. If they're that much quicker than the Nuggets, it will be trouble for Denver. Or maybe it was just the Nuggets having an off night. I think for Denver, they were kind of just filling the Lakers out. You don't know this team. You've played against AD and LeBron for the last 6 years, the last 4 years that basically battled. I thought for Denver, they're just kind of filling the Lakers out, seeing what they were going to do. J.J. Redick, you mentioned, up two nights. Great game plan. But did he tip his hand too much? Did he kind of show what they might do if they see him in a series? I think for Denver, they learned a lot more from that game than the Lakers learned, I think, from beating them. I think the key for the Lakers will be if they're that much quicker and can keep up that speed and that team defense, they're going to be a handful for the Nuggets. If it was just a one-off, it'll be an interesting seven-game series to see how it plays out if they do meet in the playoffs.
So one thing, I'm a Laker fan. But I feel like I'm a pretty good Laker fan where I'm not thinking we're going to win a championship every year. I'm pretty honest with our team. I didn't think we're going to win one. I still don't think, but this is a pretty fun team, man. If this is the way they're competing with like those three guys, I was trying to think of like nicknames for like the white guys on the Lakers. I know, Aaron, you said you can't win championships when you have a team full of white guys. But I was thinking about like Snow Whites, or I don't know.
I mean, they've only got, well, how many white guys they got that really contribute to the team? Reeves and Luka?
Connect hasn't been playing a lot. Yeah, the minutes are kind of dwindling. J.J. Redick is starting to find what he feels comfortable with, and I think that's going to start shrinking a little bit more as we get geared up towards the playoffs.
So, I mean, basically a three-headed monster of those three white guys now.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone else on that team, I'm not even going to count Lin. I assume he's white, or he might be a mixed descent, but...
I didn't see him play. I don't really recall seeing him.
If Lin's in the game, like, you're either blowing a team out or getting blown out. You don't really want to see him. He's not good team defensively for what the Lakers got going on, for sure, now. That will definitely slow them down.
Yeah. Unfortunate that they couldn't get Williams, but whatever's happening, dude, like, J.J. Redick is just... I know we gave the media a hard time for kind of smashing on Darvin Ham earlier in the season, how they were just kind of discrediting him right away. But it's starting to add up, dude. This Laker team is 13 games above 500. They're number four in the West. That's no accident. They are balling in and out every single week. They're just a few games out of the number two seed, which now they're just one loss away in the loss column, a few wins away in the win column. But it's very grabbable. But it is a tight race. You have... I see a light like this. We have several tiers in the West. Thunder are all by themselves. But do they have the respect around the league to kind of make noise in the playoffs? We're hearing that club.
They just choked a big game tonight. 25-point lead. I was watching that one.
Did you?
I mean, I was watching it. Then I wasn't. Then I came back on and pitted back on. And yeah, it was a crazy game. I mean, it was one of those things you don't see in the NBA often.
I was on the road, so I haven't seen all the highlights yet, and I haven't seen the final score.
It went to overtime.
Nice. Well, so they just got their 11th loss, but you got Thunder all by themselves, and you kind of got like the second tier. Nuggets, Grizzlies, Lakers, and I'm going to go ahead and put the Rockets in there for now, although the Rockets really lack a superstar or two to kind of lead that team down the stretch. And you know what? When we were talking about the season, we had them on the over. They're about to hit their over on the wins, but we didn't see them being this high as a 5 seed. I think it's possible that Clippers, the Timberwolves, and even the Warriors can kind of climb up and maybe get into that 5th spot. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, I mean, Clippers, I don't buy the Clippers. We talk about it all the time. They're not gonna do anything.
We didn't buy at the beginning of the season either.
They're gonna get hurt. I mean, a great move moving off Paul George. They should have moved off to Kawhi Leonard too and kind of started over. But you know, they got a new arena. They wanted to have something to show for it. And they're playing good basketball. Let's be honest. I mean, how's your guy Ben Simmons doing since you know, everybody was saying he was the greatest thing since sliced bread once he got to Ty Lue?
Yeah, to be honest, I haven't heard anything since that one game.
And, He's a one-off wonder, man.
And that's what he does. He just gives you enough to like, dude, this is why everyone thought he was really great. It's all mental. I think it's all mental with Ben Simmons. But
yeah,
everybody below the Rockets, everyone's 10 games above 500. And then you have like the middle of the pack, Clips, Tims, Mavs, Warriors. They're all three or four games.
I'll give you my four teams, and these are the only four teams that I think are going to matter in the West. It's going to be the Thunder. It's going to be the Nuggets. It's going to be the Lakers. And if they get healthy, the Mavericks. Those are your four best teams in the West. I think those are the top tier teams. Everybody else is a step below those teams. And that's considering if Dallas gets AD back, he gets healthy, and they can get some rhythm going. I believe Dallas is going to be tough out. Lakers, you mentioned Rome, defensively playing really good. Right now, everybody in the rest of the league is having to adapt because the Lakers, I mean, you swap Luka for AD, that's like a total different squad right now. Their offensive approach, their defensive approach. So teams have got to start building up, seeing how they look. The Thunder, yeah, they're the class right now of the West, but you said to Rome, they've never been out of the second round. Lost a tough series last year against Minnesota. They've just played the T-Wolves, what, three times over the last week and a half. Lost two of those three games. That's without Julius Randle. Now, they didn't have Chet Holmgren tonight. He didn't play back-to-back because he's still recovering from that hip injury. And then the other big guy, Hartenstein, might have broken his nose or something. He got hit in the nose and left. So he might see him with a mask here coming up.
Glad you talked about the Timberwolves because they actually, like, I'm a big Randle guy. I liked him in the Lakers. They used him as a piece in order to get Davis. Or they let him walk, rather, right? He takes Davis' spot with the Pelicans and ends up in New York. And everyone's still trying to decide whether that trade was good or not. Cat going to New York. Randle going to Tim's. Cat's a defensive liability in New York, so they don't look as great against the top teams. Some of that toughness that Randle definitely brought to the table. But the Timberwolves, there's something weird with Randle, and I can't pinpoint it, and I don't know what it is. You got Anthony Davis, who on any given night, he's my favorite player to watch. Can easily be the best guy on the floor. And you're right. They looked pretty dominant. I thought they were going to go to the finals and win it last year. They were on a roll in the playoffs before Jason Kidd just out-coached the shit out of them, and then Luka was on another tear in that Western Conference Finals, and they go to the finals. Timberwolves, though, pretty interesting, though. Since they can beat up on the Thunder, they beat up on the Thunder several times. And the Thunder, they're great, they're fast, but are they tough in the playoffs? And I think that's going to be really fun to see in the matchups what that's going to be like.
Well, the Thunder, we talked about, I mean, I loved the offseason addition of the big guy Hartenstein because that gave him size. They didn't have size. I mean, all they had was Chet Holmgren. So now you got two legit seven-footers if they can stay healthy. That's the big question. They're both, Chet didn't play tonight. Hartenstein got hurt, so they had no size. T-Wolves came back and rallied from 25 down, outscoring 42-19 in the fourth quarter. Basically kind of ran like a 2-1-2 match zone man where they just basically double-teamed SGA as soon as he came across half court, forced the ball out of his hands, and the rest of the guys got tight for the Thunder. They got tight. They didn't make shots. Now, not having a seven-footer like Chet in there, you can get away with going small defense like that. It helps. That's why seven-footers, if you have a really good one in this league, an AD, a Joker, a Chet, Holmgren, a Wimby that we talked about, like, there's really no answer for these guys if they're legitimately good. I mean, I don't care. I mean, the Lakers, like you said, Red Rome had a great game plan. Every time Joker touched it, they were throwing doubles. They were running, sprinting. And just making them get rid of the ball, and Joker's going to pass it to the open guy. You can force other guys to make shots. So, I mean, you can make defense adjustments that can be good. Minnesota did, got back in the game. And this was with Edwards out. They didn't even play Edwards really in the fourth quarter. They just let their bench in, and it was 121 to 105 about 3.5 minutes ago. I thought it was over. Then I decided to throw the game on, and then it was 121-118, and the OKCA announcers were like, oh, man, like, we got to get a bucket, you know, and the whole local home crowd, we got to get a bucket, man. They're getting nervous. But, yeah, the Thunder, they haven't been tested in matchups. We always talk about matchups, whether it's any sport. There's just teams that match up well with each other. The T-Wolves beat the Thunder last year in six. They match up really well with them again, even without Cat, Julius Randle. They've kind of started slow. He's been banged up and hurt. Gobert's been hurt. Minnesota's kind of like one of those teams we thought was ready maybe to take the next leap after getting to the Western Conference Finals. They've taken a step back a little bit.
Yeah.
But they need to get a point guard. Mike Conley's getting old. He's, what, 37, 38, 16, 17 years in the league. He just can't do it anymore. And Edwards really is not a guy you want as your primary ball handler all the time. They got nice wing players. They got a lot of depth. They're going to be tough to beat in the playoffs. I wouldn't want to match up against them.
Yeah.
I think they'd be a tough out for the Lakers, Nuggets, Thunder. Whoever gets them, you better be ready for at least a 6-7 game series against them.
Looks like all the guys in the middle are like playing like 500 ball. You got like from the sixth seed all the way down to the Warriors. Warriors have been on a tear, though. I think they're 4-1 in the last five games ever since they acquired Jimmy Butler. Steph Curry looks energized. You got Draymond Green talking extra smack on his podcast with his homeboy, Baron Davis, who I met once. Nice guy. And some people are picking them to maybe kind of make a move here. There's always one or two teams that kind of go on the sprint at the end of the season. Are the Warriors it? Is that the team? Or do like, you got to assume the Mavericks are hoping to play 500 ball for the rest of the season. Do the Lakers go on an even more tear to try to catch that number two seed so they get favorable playoff positioning? What do you think about the Warriors?
I like what the Warriors are doing. You mentioned they're playing really well since they got Butler. And the confidence
of that
team.
You see the highlight of him like grabbing the clipboard? There's people on Twitter be like, he's never grabbed a clipboard on the Heat. Like,
no, that Heat culture doesn't allow that.
Yeah.
It's a lot more, I mean, look, at once you've won a lot of multiple championships, Curry, and you're playing good ball and you're winning, you can get away with a lot more things. There's a little more freelance. I think Butler needed a change of scenery. He's definitely played well now. And the Warriors, you mentioned, they got confidence again. And sometimes when you got a championship team, a championship caliber players, you add another guy. I know Jimmy hasn't won a title, but he's been to two NBA finals. He's carried the Heat on his back when they were underdogs in the bubble and as an eighth seed. When they got to the finals, you know, we didn't see that one coming, that's for sure. I mean, they barely beat the Bulls in a play-in game and then advanced to the finals and played the Nuggets tough. But yeah, the Warriors, Rome, I'd be scared to play them. I mean, Lakers, Warriors, round one. I mean, basically almost the same team. Small, a lot of guards, can score. Be an interesting series. I mean, Redick, if he wants to say he's one of the better coaches in the league, you know Kerr would love to beat him. You know Curry would love to send LeBron into retirement. Draymond would talk shit all day on Luka. It'd be a great series. I'd love to see it at 2-7 if it happens.
It would be pretty fun, actually. I like the way I feel about the Lakers and like Redick now. They can shoot the... Oh. Can they shoot the three ball better than the Warriors? I don't know. They're both hot and cold.
Yeah, I mean, Butler's not a great three-point shooter.
But when he gets hot, he gets hot.
Yeah, I mean, he's a streaky shooter. He's a scorer, but he is a streaky shooter.
Maybe that's my NBA comp. Butler. Don't get along with a lot of people. I'm streaking.
I think you're more closer to Draymond.
Draymond.
But we'll give you like a mix. We'll give you a mix of like Butler and Draymond. We'll call you Butler Green or Green Butler, whatever you want to go by.
Green Butler. Oh man, sounds like a superhero. Green Butler.
There you go. change your name. Put in little parentheses next to Rome. Butler.
You are tripping, dude. That's wild. All right. So I got to catch up on some games today. My bad. Bulls did put an ass whooping on the 76ers. I think we were talking about this off the air last time, but 76ers, after their last loss, they are in sole position of the sixth best record in the NBA. So they do get to keep their top six protected pick. That would go to, I believe, the Thunder, right?
Yeah, I think you mentioned that. Yeah.
Yeah. So they get
If they get out of that sixth spot, then that pick goes to the Thunder.
Dude, it's...
Man, so you know the Thunder want them to keep winning.
They're better off just doing what they're doing. Having Embiid sit out.
They're going to shut out and be down for the season. They're already
shut out PG pretty soon.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that movie ended a long time ago, just as the people here in Hollywood.
But the fact that the Bulls put 142 up, that's impressive, man.
Dude, the Bulls were winning that game by 50 points.
That's so crazy.
And the Bulls are a bad team, man. If you're losing by 50 points to the Bulls, you need to go look yourself in the mirror.
They do got some talent, though. You know, they got Kobe White, Josh Giddey.
Lonzo
Ball's having a great year.
Yeah. There's no shame in losing in the NBA. There's no reason you should ever be down 50 points in the NBA, especially to the Bulls that are, minus 10 games below 500. I just watched the Bulls play 2 weeks ago, and they got whipped by the Pistons at home. They were down 40.
All right. So I like the Pistons.
I think too.
I was talking to you. Like, I like watch them. When I was listening to the first pod, we automatically eliminated them out of the playoffs. It was a big mess.
I believe we did, but I believe we might have had their over on the win total, which they've already achieved.
They did. We didn't.
Okay.
But I remember being like, all right, yeah, you know, fair agreement. 32-26 in the last, I believe, 3 or 4 NBA seasons, they only have a total of like 32 wins. So they already met that this year. It's been a really nice turnaround. We thought their season was going to be over early in the year. Kate Cunningham balling his ass out. Tobias Harrison has provided like some great stability there as well. Tim Hardaway Jr., that was a pickup of the offseason. Plays solid minutes. Doesn't get like a lot of stats, but he's a nice glue guy over there. They also got Blake Beasley, Dennis Schroeder, haven't seen him play there yet. I know he's been playing there, but you got to imagine he'll add something
off the
bench.
Here's the thing about Dennis Schroeder, man. His agent messed up, but whatever team that guy ends up on, they're going in the playoffs. So pencil me in. I mean, that guy seems like he finds playoff teams every year. I don't know how. Not getting paid right, but if he makes the playoffs.
We're going to have to like do a special, man, like top 10 bonehead mistakes ever. Him not taking that contract from the Lakers is definitely up there.
Dude, that's a bonehead mistake.
Latrell Sprewell,
him
saying he couldn't feed his kids with that $25 million contract. That time it was like a lot, and he said,
"Dude, it's worth like $60 million today."
And he didn't get another contract after that. Like that was it. That's also on that list. But Pistons, they're on a nice little roll right now. They are. Let's just jump to the Eastern Conference really quick. They are sitting in the sixth seed. Pretty sweet, man. We didn't even have in the top 10. We kind of nailed the bottom of five, though, in the conference, I believe. The only thing we did not see happening was the 76ers. We're not going to hit the over on that win total. Obviously, that has blown up in everyone's faces. They had a hell of an offseason, right? Signing everybody and their mom. Didn't really turn out all that well. I think who ended up taking their place is obviously the Pistons. And I had the Magic on the over. You guys were not as... up, I believe, but the Magic right there in the seventh seed.
Well, I think at the time, because we were, 2 weeks into the season when we did the opening,
Powell got
right?
hurt.
He was hurt. That was why I was kind of down. Then they also lost the other big guy.
They're on a six-game losing streak at the time.
Yeah. And, I liked Orlando till that guy got hurt, because I believe he has. I think he had kind of what AD has now, kind of like an abdominal strain that was going to be out 4 to 6 weeks.
Both their guys have it, yeah.
So,
wait, I'm trying to look up their players right now. So, Paolo got hurt with the abdominal strain, and then it was Jalen Suggs got the same injury, right?
I'm not sure who's the big guy. They got Wagner, right? Is it Wagner?
Oh, Franz Wagner, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Is he back? Or is he still out? Game logs. Yeah, so he's back. But he missed all of January and basically all of December.
All of December for sure, yeah.
Yeah. Franz Wagner. Averaging 25 a game.
Well, we didn't really see that one coming. It was just all Paolo, but him and Franz, it's really turned them into like a really competent team there. All right. Should we add any other tidbits for the West? We can always jump back in. We can have like some other people on.
No, I think we talked about a week ago. We said the 10 teams that are in would probably be the 10 that make it. Maybe the Suns. I know we ruled out the Spurs. I'm fine ruling out the Spurs, Blazers, Pelicans, and Jazz. I mean, the Suns, maybe they get in. I mean, if they're going to catch anybody, it's going to be the Kings. Because like you said, Rome, the Warriors are not going to catch them. The T-Wolves are not going to catch them. The Mavs, even if they play 500 ball the rest of the way, which if they get AD back, I expect them to go on like a win 10 out of 12 or something if he gets healthy. So they got to catch the Kings, and the Kings got a big win tonight. So if you're the Suns, yeah, I don't know what the Suns decent, do, man. They're basically paying three coaches right now. They've got 42nd round picks, but can't get a first round pick. I don't know what they're doing.
I remember us talking about this, how we're both Vogel guys. We both like him as a coach. They just dumped his ass. They bring in Bud. I thought Bud should have got fired. I was wrong about that with the Bucks. Although I did like him and he won a chip there, but Bud, I don't know what the hell he's doing with Phoenix. I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's the players. I don't know if it's just Phoenix, like new ownership syndrome. They're just overthinking it. They're just blowing it up. That whole trade stuff, like them talking about trading KD, behind his back. Now I totally get why the Lakers and the Mavs totally didn't tell anybody.
Well, yeah, because I mean, players are real pity, dude.
It's not good. Like the
and
body
then their
language
agents
is not
are
good.
Real. Their agents are real pity.
Did you hear that stuff out of Clutch?
No.
Who's that guy that runs his Clutch? Little James guy? Rich Paul?
Paul Rich Paul, yeah.
Yeah. He was saying if he would have heard about the trade, he would have nixed it right then and there. It wasn't going to happen.
And this is why Dallas's ownership and Nico did what they did behind the back. And Roman, you've been a big proponent of this, and I agree with you. Like, players and agents have way too much power in the NBA. Way too much power. They make too much money. They got way too much power.
Yeah.
You know? In the NBA, that'll never happen, but I know the Heat suspended Butler, but I would tell a player and an agent, hey, if you don't want to play here, we can't trade you, suspend you the whole year, and you don't get paid. Like, you don't get paid if you don't play. It's like fighting. If I sign a five fight deal and I don't fight, I don't get paid. I don't just get to sit there and weigh out my contract for 5 years and then be like, oh, I'm a free agent now.
I'm not sure if we talked about this, but I know we talked about it in person or like at least on the phone. I'm not sure we talked about it on the pod, but NBA is in danger of losing their guaranteed contracts. I think the owners are finding a way, the loopholes of taking the money back. And
they need to
punish the guys for not playing, or for like not obeying. And you know what? I'm kind of for it, actually.
I'm 100% for it. I mean, the NBA, for everything you've pointed out, Rome, where revenue, everything's up, but TV viewership is down. And the reason why is the day's players are great. They're awesome. They're the best athletes, best basketball players in the world today. But they're fucking crybabies. And they don't want to play back-to-back because some idiot doctor or agent's like, hey, the wear and tear is not good, and you're not going to get that next contract. But yet, when we grew up, everybody played 77, 78, 79 games, no problems, no injuries. Now it's, hey, I got a soft tissue calf injury. I think I'll reevaluate me in 7-10 days. I'm going to go to the spa, and maybe I'll play in a week or two. It's like, dude, come on, man. Stop being a baby and get out there on the court. And I'm all for it, man. I'm all for non-guaranteed contracts. I'm all for, like, you know. And maybe this is why the Hornets are making such a big stink about the Williams trade, is the Lakers basically did that with a player they didn't even have on their roster. Like, hey, you know what? Soft tissue doesn't look good. We're just gonna axe this trade.
Dude, something else came out of it. I just can't remember. I forgot to send it to you guys, but yeah, they're pretty sour on it, man. It's going to be sour for a while. Yeah.
And I want to see, I want to get the physicals of all players that get traded. I want to be able to see them. I want it to be public.
Let's make it public. That'd be fun.
Like if you're a journalist, you can file a thing and it becomes public and you get the records. I want to see it.
Court records.
I want to see why the Lakers failed the guy. And is it, and I don't, it's kind of hard to gauge because I've read somewhere where they don't think he can play 5 or 10 years. It's like, okay, but you're really just trading for him for now and maybe 3 years. It's a 3-year window, right? Maybe a 4-year window.
That first round pick's like in 5 years.
So, and you're not paying the guy any money right now. I mean, he's what, this is his 3rd year in the league?
Yeah.
So he's still got 2 more years as part of his rookie deal. Yeah. I mean, I'm all for, like we've talked about, man, I'm all for going to like an NFL, like here, like Luka. Instead of paying him $350 million, be like, hey, we're going to sign you a 5-year, $350 million, but $150 million is guaranteed up front. And if you break down after 2 years, we cut you. We'll take a cap hit, we cut you, and then we'll regroup. I'm all for it. You know, if I was the Lakers and I was Jeannie Buss and Rich Paul would pull a stunt like that, I'd pull his tickets. I'd say, get the fuck out of here, dude.
Oh, Rich Paul's?
Yeah. I'd say, I don't need your bullshit here in the arena. Take a deal and get the fuck out of here, dude.
There's definitely a clackback against Rich Paul and Clutch Sports within the Laker organization. Obviously, it's a little late, but I'm all for it, man.
Yeah.
The team looks like they got their balls back. Maybe Jeannie finally found her Jerry Buss inside. I don't know.
Dr. Buss, Dr. Buss might have rose up from the grave and said, hey,
I don't know what's happening.
Not on
dude.
My watch.
I'm not going to complain because I actually like the makeup of the team. There's some good guys. It's not perfect. We're not the Celtics. The Celtics look incredible right now. Let's jump to them. They just demolished
the
New York.
The Celtics look incredible, but there was a lot of stuff going on backstage back in the day there a couple years ago. So it's not all roses are red while it is blue, man.
It's not. So Celtics are pretty interesting. You got Cavs, number one seed right now. They'll probably stay there. Celtics at number two. At the time, I think. Oh, yeah, actually, the Cavs just came out blazing in the beginning of the year. Cavs, I think they'll make some noise in the playoffs. They're doing pretty well, both them and the Celtics. Celtics, though, they kind of look like, at times, the championship team that just won. It's hard to get up for 82 games a year, and I'm not going to blame a team for not showing up all the time. You know, it's tough. The Lakers were notorious for this, which was, like, frustrating when, like, Kobe and Shaq were on the team. You know, they just, like, looked like they didn't play for, like, 38 minutes and all of a sudden just start bawling out the last 4 minutes of the fourth quarter. It was pretty frustrating, but also exciting at the same time. Made for good TV. But Celtics, though, they've laid a few eggs, but when they're on with, when they got Porzingis, when they got Tatum, probably playing like a top five, maybe top three basketball player this year, at least, definitely in the MVP conversation. Brown played really shitty the other day against the Knicks, but they got a hell of a deep lineup, and Mozzulla, he's just clicking on all cylinders, you know, with this team. He kind of has like that Belichick post-game thing going on. I don't know if it's an East Coast thing that you just pick up on when you start working over there, but I'm kind of digging it too.
I think it's a kind of, I've been shit on by everybody that said I didn't know what the fuck I was doing, and now I got a ring.
We all watched the games, dude. It looked like he didn't know what the fuck he was doing.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it was a situation he wasn't probably prepared for. I mean, he was, what, the number 2 or 3 assistant on that staff. Remember, the other guy left for Utah. Then Udoka got fired out of nowhere. And you step up, right?
Like, they just gave it to him,
imagine going from the third-string quarterback holding a clipboard to now you're the main guy and you got to get us to a Super Bowl.
Like, Foles.
I mean, basically, he's pulled a Kurt Warner.
That's really good, actually.
You know, and Kurt Warner's now still banking off the NFL Network off that, so
it's pretty good, yeah.
But yeah, the East is two teams to me. It's Cleveland, it's Boston. That's going to be your Eastern Conference final matchup. I like the Cavs too, but Rome, we've been talking about it. They're not battle tested like the Thunder. Are they ready to compete and make a deep run? Celtics, like you said, came out of the gates firing and then got lazy. Kind of were like, what, you know, 10-10 over a 20-game stretch. They now won 5 in a row. Look good. They know they can destroy the Knicks. They've been beating the Knicks like stepchilds all the time. The Knicks aren't going to beat them. You know, the Bucks, too old probably. Not enough depth.
I Pacers, do still like the Bucks. It's just
I think I mean the Bucks, they're a wild card. I just don't think they have enough in them to get through.
Kuzma just posted on his Instagram account 4 in a row. Can't remember the last time I had that.
Not in the win column. He's had that in the loss column quite a lot here over the last couple years.
It's his first 4-game winning streak in a long time. Probably the Lakers, actually. But they're playing okay. 8 games above 500. Them and the Pacers are tied. They're stuck in the middle. Them and the Pistons. It's kind of like mumbled there, just like the Western Conference, where like these teams are pretty solid. Pacers, I don't think they make as much noise as last year, although they've been impressive, not as impressive as last year. I think people kind of figured out Tyler Haliburton a little bit and the rest of the crew.
Pacers are good. I mean, Pacers are built, they're built kind of like an old school kind of NBA team with like 8 to 10 player depth. They just don't have like that next star to get them over the top.
They really don't, yeah.
I mean, they have, like, if you look at their team, like, they have, like, 6 to 8 guys that are all the same and really good. And they're a really good team. But they just don't have that next guy to, like, get him over the top.
The closest guys you got is Pascal Siakam. Like, that was a nice pickup from Toronto.
And he's a good player, but he's not a star. I mean, he won a ring with the Raptors.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a number two, maybe a three.
Who would be number two then? Turner?
Yeah.
Nembhard's been playing pretty decent.
He's a good player.
I don't know.
They got a lot of good players. They got a lot of good players.
Deep team.
You know what they need? They're like the Minnesota Timberwolves, but without Ant Edwards. They need Ant Edwards on their team.
Dude, if they had Ant Edwards, they're making noise.
They'd be making some real noise.
Making some real noise.
That's what they need. I'll make it happen as a GM. Ooh. Give me a call.
That would be nice, Indiana.
Yeah, he would.
Hey, let's take a quick look, though. Nothing really exciting has happened in the past few days on the East besides, you know, Bulls. Do they keep that 10th seed and keep the Nets? They're going to hit their over, man. They've been surprisingly competitive. Although their record is what it is, they've been surprisingly competitive and got, like, some pretty big wins in the season. Bulls, Heat have looked like they've kind of mailed it in, especially after the Jimmy Butler saga. They just kind of look a little defeated, you know, even though they got Hero and they got a few other guys. I just think it might be the end for that team. Am I wrong?
No, the reset button is coming, but Miami, as long as they got Pat Riley there, they're going to want to win, unless he's got Rome, which you've brought up, which I think is actual a lot of facts, is this old man syndrome where these guys are getting older and just losing it, like a Jerry Jones and all these guys.
I think he's kind of losing a little
bit. So maybe Pat Riley is starting to lose it. I don't know.
Emotionally, yeah.
He's what? How old is Pat Riley now? 78,
79,
81? How old is he now? Look, I got to look that up.
Jason's our look up guy in the middle of the show guy.
When we need him, he's not here tonight. Let's see. Guy's been around forever. 79. He's gonna be 80 here in a month.
Yeah.
So it's that 80. It's that 80 number. That's when we start, like, you know, digging your grave as far as your professional career, not your life, but your professional career.
You just start doing stuff you haven't done. You know, like Belichick starts dating 20-year-olds,
and he's back in college.
And he's back in college.
Like Roger Dangerfield.
Oh, dude, that's a pretty good comparison. You're on it today. What's up?
Monday, man.
That's
hilarious. I got a lot more time not watching football.
Yeah. So you got the Heat down there. Hawks, I don't know what's going on. Trae Young, although this has been a pretty decent year for him, it's just, man, it's basically the same team that made it to the Eastern Conference Finals a couple years ago on a fluke path. Seems like that happens more often in the East than it does in the West. But they'll probably stick around there. I think everybody above 7 is where it's at. Magic, I still consider, I would hate to face them in the playoffs. I think they're going to be a tough out. Pistons, tough. Pacers, depends on the matchup.
Well, I mean, like, we're looking at the matchups right now. You're looking at Cavaliers versus Hawks. Cavs will beat them. But then you talked about the Magic. That's the Celtics. I mean, Cavaliers are getting the one seed. Let's just put that to bed right now.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
They're getting the one seed. So that means the Celtics are playing the Magic. And the Celtics will beat them. Oh. But the interesting matchups are the next two. You got Knicks versus Detroit.
That's dangerous, I think.
That's very dangerous.
That could easily be a seven-game series.
And then you got Bucks-Pacers, who we already know these two teams don't like each other. It was the Pacers that took the Bucks out last year in the playoffs.
It did, John. Yeah. They actually did a pretty good job on Giannis, and then Giannis got hurt and wasn't able to come back.
So I think Lillard had one or two games where he went for like 40 and the Bucks won. But that 4-5, that would be a good matchup.
Yeah. Some things to look at during the rest of the NBA season, man, like what should we looking for? While you're thinking about that, I do have the latest odds to win the NBA Finals up here. No surprise that Lakers has skyrocketed to number 6, but we'll go from top down. Number 1 is Boston at plus 180. OKC plus 210. Cleveland plus 700. Denver plus 1200. Denver has quietly still has had a pretty good year. They are, what, the second seed right now?
Yeah.
Second seed, pretty good team. And I think we were actually talking about how they look, how everyone armed up on the Western Conference. So we actually had them having a down year. But here they are as the number 2 seed. Joker's just carrying them again. And Murray has in and out. That's kind of looked like himself. Same with Porter, while his brother serves jail time. That's sneaking in.
Maybe both his brothers are in jail. I don't know.
That's right, right?
I think.
Something else came out recently. I got
hard to keep track of all these Porters.
These guys are idiots. So New York is the fifth one at 1,500, which... I don't think so. I think they're a great team. I just don't see them hosting a trophy this year. Lakers, I didn't see it, but I have to see more of this. But if I do give them a shot, so I think it's legitimate at plus 1,800. Golden State's what's surprising. There's a big gap from the Lakers down to Golden State, plus 3,300.
So is Golden State the number 7 team on this list?
It is. Golden State, Memphis are tied. Memphis Grizzlies. I know Ja, he's looked like Ja for most of the season, but also we've talked about this before where guys that have these off-field issues, when they take an extended time off from the court, they never return back the same, right? And it's kind of happened to Ja as well. So surprising that Memphis is this good. We didn't have them as a number 3 seed, you know? They're a pretty deep squad. But are they capable of making a deep run? Like, what's like, we got our top title contenders right now. For me, that's Boston, OKC, and Cleveland. I think those are the top 3 favorites in my eyes. That's tier 1. Tier 2, I would put Denver. They're still scary with the best player of the NBA. Denver, I will put the Lakers in there. And I'm not trying to be a homer. It's just this is a new look Lakers team, dude. This is a different team now.
The Lakers should be there.
Denver, Lakers, and then just out of respect, I'm going to put Milwaukee in there because I do believe Giannis is still like one of the best players in the world. And then so I'm kind of veering off a little bit. Then the next tier would be, you know, New York. It doesn't really matter. It could be New York, Golden State, Memphis, you know, I don't know. Everybody else is a hell no. That's not happening.
I think it's the 5 teams you mentioned, Rome, with it Cleveland, Boston, Thunder, Nuggets, Lakers. I think if we're looking for, those are the 5 teams that I would pin in the top 5 to win it right now. If we're looking at a few quote-unquote wild cards, Milwaukee, I guess you can throw in there. I mean, if Giannis is healthy and stuff, he can be a beast in the playoffs. I'm not really sold on them.
We haven't seen it happen. as well. He hasn't been healthy in the playoffs, but if there's a healthy Giannis and like Kyle Kuzma's like shooting threes,
I mean, they're going to be tough.
Kuzma was really good in the finals and that finals run a few years ago with the Lakers. So like,
yeah, everybody forgets about that bubble, huh? Unless your face was on the fucking TV screen there.
It was a good playoffs.
Yeah, so you got those five teams, and then I think the wild card teams would be on the outside looking in would be the Bucks. I would say I like the Mavs if they get healthy.
Okay.
And I'd throw the Warriors in there.
Okay. Yeah.
I think those eight teams can do it. One of those eight teams I would say could win a title. I don't buy in the Knicks, man. They just against good teams, they don't play good. I mean, they've been trash against the Lakers, trash against Cleveland, Boston. They can't beat those teams in a seven-game series.
Really interesting. Dallas has the 11th best odds for the finals at plus 6,600. Clippers have a better odds favorite at plus 5,000, which I'm not buying that. But
I'm not buying the Clippers. James Harden, wake me up when he gets to an NBA Finals, please.
He missed a shot, dude. He got robbed by two of them. From my count. And the one was the Chris Paul injury in game 7.
Yeah. Also, they missed 29 straight three-pointers in that game, too.
That didn't help. That didn't help, dude.
I couldn't even do that on my worst day.
Dude, I haven't. Well, I've had some pretty bad shooting days.
It's hard.
I don't know. All right, so we got like 20-something games left. I guess all eyes for me, man. I'm really curious how Lakers further develop this chemistry. They do play.
They have the toughest schedule down the rest of the season, right?
It's pretty tight, man. They do play Dallas tomorrow. So that could be the first of many FU games. Tomorrow's pretty interesting. You got Celtics at Raptors.
What's the over? Does Luka go for 40? Does he go for 50? Did they just give him the ball and LeBron says just go off? What's he going to do?
So typically, Laker players, like new Lakers, do well against their former teams. You know, first game, I think Anthony Davis had 40-something the first time he played the Pelicans. I can't remember who was before that. Paul Gasol had a good game. Shaq had a good game, et cetera, et cetera. And Dallas is kind of beat up. And this is in L.A., and I got to imagine, like, J.J. Redick is, like, putting overtime on the film sessions. And he has a great coaching staff. Do you see who's on the bench with him?
Guys that should be head coaches still in the NBA today.
Dude.
Scotty Brooks.
NBA coach. My guy,
Nate McMillan?
All legit NBA head coaches. It is fucking phenomenal. Like, this guy is smart.
No, J.J. Redick is a smart guy, man. He is a smart guy. I mean, he's too smart to be working for ESPN, I'll tell you that.
That's for sure.
But yeah, it was a good hire. And just to think, I mean, had Hurley taken the job from UConn, he would have never gotten this gig.
You know, sometimes the coach that you want, it doesn't work out for a reason. You know, Hurley, now him and this Connecticut team are trying to fight to stay in the tournament this year.
So they'll get in the tournament.
They'll get it, but
they should be.
They're still fighting.
There should be a rule.
They're going to be a low seed.
There should be a rule. If you win the title in college basketball, you automatically get to the next tournament.
I like that. I do like that. No matter what.
You're the champ. You got to beat the champ in the tournament.
I think you have to be at least 500, though.
Okay. Unless you got guys that hurt, but if your star players playing, you're above 500, you're in. There's always got to be an exception. I pin them in. Because it was the one year North Carolina, like, didn't get to the tournament the next year, right after getting beaten, like, in the championship game. Like, throw them in.
That was,
automatically.
Fuck.
Like, I'm all for the Blue Bloods and college basketball being in the tournament every year. UCLA, Duke, North Carolina, Connecticut, Arizona, automatic in the tournament every year. I don't care how bad or good you are. You're in. We'll find a seed for you.
Try to look up where is Connecticut projected seeding right now.
That's a great question. They might be like between 7 and 10, if that. St. John's just whipped up on UConn the other night.
St. John's Sunday? Good. St. John's, good.
Yeah.
It kind of came out,
coach, man.
Kind of came out Patino with his post game or like halftime speech. It was a little rough, actually. It's a little old school.
I like Patino, man.
And some people didn't like it, but some people were like, "Oh man, that's inspirational."
I saw it. We're talking
even
about
I
the
thought
same
it was
one.
Like, yeah, I was like, oh,
where that's... he just basically, it was about a minute and a half. He dropped a lot of F bombs.
How old is he?
Patino, that's a good question, man.
It's
in
going
the
around
70s.
The same. It's around the same age, dude.
He's in the 70s.
These
I
old
think.
Guys just start getting upset, like
now,
even
Patino's
more upset.
Always been upset, man.
But now he's even, he's about to enter his
he's
72. Bob Knight. He's about to enter his Bob Knight upset era.
I'm all for Rick Pitino because Rick Pitino wins wherever he goes.
Yeah,
where's St. John's been the last two decades? Garbage.
Pitino gets
there. This is what Pitino's second year at St. John's.
Yeah, dude, it's pretty cool.
And look at, he's going to get him a top four seed in the tournament. Probably get him to the Sweet 16, maybe the Elite Eight.
All right, overall seeds, I got it right here.
I'm going to give you a hot take right now. You can post it on any media you want. St. John's has a better chance of winning a title than the Knicks do of winning an NBA title. How about that? How about that, New York?
I've been surprisingly watching more women's college basketball than men's.
You got to get your guest WNBA college hoops girl on then.
I do.
You guys can do...
I think she's at a game right now. Every time I try calling her. No luck, man. I get no love. The West tournament is going to be here in San Francisco, though.
Yeah.
We got to go.
A lot going on that weekend.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll get to college basketball when we get to it.
It's right around the corner.
Yeah. We're going to do a bracket.
Yeah, why not?
We'll do our own bracket buster.
Yeah.
Has to be able to gamble on it.
Do some kind of friendly something.
Yeah. We'll do one between us for sure.
Yeah.
Steak dinners. Prime rib.
You owe me a prime rib already, man.
I owe you a
at the House of Prime Rib there in San Francisco.
You got to come up, man. You got to come up. I'll get you a Resi.
What did you find out where UConn was proceeded to be?
No, I got lost. I got lost in
got
all
lost
the pages
in the Rick
of Google
Pitino speech, huh?
Yeah, I did. I do like it when we kind of bounce around.
Yeah, that's good.
Topic, pretty funny.
So it looks like UConn was projected like as a number 8 seed. That was like 6 days ago, but I don't know how accurate it is.
I was going to ask you if you thought they're going to be above a 12 seed.
Yeah, no. So. Since they're in a Power 4 or whatever major conference, they have to be 11 or better. All 12 through whatever is all for the lower teams.
That shows you what I know.
I believe that's how it works.
I don't know shit about seeding.
Seeding's gotten really weird over the
years. And I don't even get it. Like, that's why I kind of gave up following it.
Yeah, you kind of project seeding like...
First in,
like
first out.
Like, you take the top 25 teams and then... Yeah. They got weird formulas. I mean... I don't know if
strength
anybody
of schedule projected.
Yeah, they got strength of schedule, win, all that. There's a lot of BS, man. But yeah, that's one thing. One thing in life, I don't understand how these guys come up with these projected seeds. Let's put it that way.
And then now you get 68 teams that make it in.
And they're always talking about expanding that to 72, then 96 or 78.
I think there's like, what, 315 Division I basketball teams? Something like that?
Might be like 350 now. It's a lot.
Let's go 350. Let's go 325 and see what that says. 68, that's 20% of the teams make it in. That's pretty good. College football playoffs. Now we have a 12-man team playoff.
Yeah, there's 135 Division I college football teams, I believe.
It used to be 160.
I think it's 135.
Yeah. Oh, that's 8%.
Yeah.
Wow, that's the cream of the crop right there.
So, but that's going to get expanded here to 14 to 16 here pretty soon.
Let's do NBA.
Yeah, NBA, what, 50%? Shit, like 60% now of all the play-in games.
10 out of the 15, 20 out of 30 teams should at least compete.
That's 66%. Round up 67. Ridiculous. Well, I mean, the NFL's, what's 14 out of 32? Was it about 44%? 45?
Yeah.
It used to be, what, 12? And then they
I'm actually cool with that because the NFL's pretty hard.
And it's a lot more balanced league if you actually look at it.
Like,
there's only maybe one below 500 team that gets in the playoffs.
It's very rare.
If you're lucky. The NBA.
I know it's happened. Every time it's happened, it's been bad. But it's really hard. It's pretty impressive when it does.
In the NBA, you've got, what, almost eight teams now? Six teams?
I'm cool with eight teams. The play-in's okay. I'm not really sure. The Lakers would have never been in the playoffs the last few years.
Oh, the Lakers living that play-in game.
Yeah, so saved them.
They got out of purgatory.
Dude, it came in just the right of the perfect time. Otherwise, LeBron would be out of the playoffs like all these years. Be like,
oh,
no.
LeBron would likely be retired if it wasn't for the play-in game. Let's be honest.
Yeah, the play-in game saved LeBron's career.
And it made him pass Kareem. So no wonder Kareem's kind of bitter. He don't like the play-in game.
I don't think no one's going to catch LeBron's scoring record now.
Now. Soft as the league is now, say what you want about LeBron. LeBron's always showed up to play. I can respect that about him.
Yeah.
He's always put in the effort. He's put in the time. He puts a lot of money into his body. Loves the game. And the game's rewarded him. And that should be a lesson I'm going to give you. You asked the question about life. If you put in the work and you put in the effort, life will reward you. That's what one thing you learn as you get older. Like, time is running out, so like you start putting in the work, whether it's going to the gym or whatever you're doing, whether it's your job or relationships, friends, if like you put in the effort and work, like it more times than not, it will work itself out and positive for you.
I wish I could say the same thing. I believe it's a good thing to live by. I do believe you have to love the process.
It doesn't work all the time, but
yeah,
more times
than not,
you have
to love the process. In case it doesn't happen, you have to fucking love it.
Yes.
That's why I do what you love. Because time's going
to
pass anyways. Yeah. So we'll just wrap up soon, but NBA, or like at least the Basketball Hall of Fame, once I heard like Carmelo Anthony is a finalist.
Carmelo Anthony should be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah?
Yeah. Basketball, I mean, he won a national championship as a freshman at Syracuse.
He did.
He started that trend of one and done.
Yeah.
He was a really good NBA player. Maybe not the greatest teammate, but he was good. Carmelo Anthony's, he's a Hall of Famer.
Tracy McGrady?
Yes. T-Mac is a really good player. Hall of
Famer.
Vince
Carter?
Yes.
It's a lot. It's a lot.
You got any more names?
That's all I got right now. Dwight Howard?
No.
Why not? He's one of the most dominant big men of his era. He was the most dominant big man of his era.
I didn't view him as a dominant big man. I don't have him in my Hall of Fame.
I don't know any of these other players. There's some women going in there too. Sue Bird, which she's iconic.
Yeah, she'll get in.
I had a crush on her, then I found out she's a lesbian. It kind of killed it for me.
Killed it for a lot of us.
She's really pretty.
Yeah.
Like, cool fucking name too.
It seems that the WNBA, a lot of the pretty girls are lesbians.
No, they were married to men. Candace Parker?
Yeah.
She used to be married to a guy.
Well, what happened?
I think the WNBA actually does change you. I don't know. Sue Bird, now she's dating some MLS. I'm going to probably edit this whole thing out.
Save this section for another day.
I think we're good here.